This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Jeff Kiskerno.
Good morning, everybody. Wherever you are listening from this morning, welcome to Amwell Church of the Brethren. And I don't know why I'm staring at the phone. I can't see you. But force of habit, I guess. So we want to welcome you here this morning. We have a nice turnout this morning. And it is a beautiful Lord's Day for March, and we're happy to have you here. So we've gone over our announcements and our prayer list, and so let's get started, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer for those who need prayer, and that includes every one of us who's listening here this morning. So let's pray. Eternal and gracious Lord, we are so thankful to be in your church house this morning. We give you thanks for the guidance of the past week. And Lord, we know that there are those who need prayer this morning for physical healing, those who need spiritual and emotional healing. And maybe, Lord, they need all three. And we know, Lord, that even though these requests that we call out this morning from these individuals, that every one of us here has one or more requests. We just haven't chosen to verbalize them, and for those that are listening on the call, haven't had a chance to put them on this list this morning. So, Lord, we just pray for those this morning who we've been praying for some weeks now, and we continue to hold up in prayer. We pray for Sue Angelo, who has several health issues, and we give thanks for her sister Rosie, who gives her care so lovingly. For the pastor's cousin Lou D'Amato, who I believe is continuing to recover well from COVID. For Grace with her health issues, and Scott as he ministers to her. For Butch and Linda and Butch's health issues. For Sister Lucy and Brother George. And also our Brother Rick, and we're happy to have him here this morning. For Joe Schuler, having some medical issues, and for Lisa and Tiffany with health issues of their own. For Penny Policello recovering through COVID. For Murph and Jane as they continue to hunt for a new home. Which has been happening for some time. For Jane's sister Lois with health issues, for John with his pancreatic cancer and the treatment that he is going through to shrink that tumor, for Elizabeth Mara recovering from shingles, Robin Pierman, who is also battling cancer, for Tatiana and Josh, who is doing their street preaching, and along with that, a praise for Chris, who has started his own street preaching here in Hunterdon County, and for all the people that he encountered. We don't know what thoughts went through their head, but we are thankful for the honks of the horn that he related to us that he got, and maybe some friendly waves, and maybe even those that just stared and wasn't sure what's going on. We don't know what seeds are planted, but we know, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will do his work. For Teresa, Sherry's friend, whose church is divided by a leadership issue, and also for the youth ministry there, and a praise for Sarah Ferrella, who was accepted into Liberty's graduate studies program, and also for prayers of guidance. And Lord, for everyone listening in on this call, we know that every one of us has a concern or a list of concerns, be it short or long. We're thankful that you have all these individuals and us in the hollow of your hand. And we just ask for your guidance for the week ahead. To continue to pray for all those that need a healing touch that maybe we prayed for before but are not on this list. We don't want to be remiss, but Lord, you know who they are. And so we just want to at least verbalize to remember all those who continue to have a need of healing, be it physical, spiritual, or emotional. And so, Lord, we just pray that anything and everything that is done in this service this morning will bring you honor and glory. And it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Okay, I'm just talking to the pastor, and I said I would be mentioning it over the phone, that this is a little unusual for me because I'm standing behind the pulpit and the pastor is looking at me. Very, very unusual. So, so far our stairs look pretty good. So, let's hope that his support continues because he's sitting right in the second pew. So, This morning's message is entitled Top of Mind. Top of Mind is a phrase in the business world that's primarily used by marketing and sales departments to find out what their potential customers are thinking, what's on their mind with respect to the product or products that they manufacture. From there, they decide how to reach those individuals to try and interest them in their products and not their competitors. So with respect to this phrase, this morning, top of mind, what might be on your mind at this point in time on Sunday, March 21st, 2021? It could be something about you or about someone else. It could be about health, money, something emotional or something spiritual. It could be about the current state of the country or the world. It could be about many things affecting you or me personally. Arguably, one thing for sure, we live in tenuous times and a very tough world that gives us plenty of things to think about. Let's set that phrase aside for the moment. If I asked you individually, how are you? And some of you probably did that this morning. You might be at a loss of words for a second or two. You might tell me what is going on in your life, events of the past week, and how they affected or influenced you. Or you might be more animated and throw your arms up in the air and say something like, we live in a crazy world. You might say, this COVID thing is getting old, or I am so tired of wearing this mask. Show of hands. Unanimous. How about, it feels like we're living in a dream, or I can't wait till we get back to normal. That begs the question, what is normal? A phrase we are tired of, I'm sure, is what will be the new normal. It's exasperating. It's depressing, as you can see by the picture. One thing for sure, the world has become a difficult place where poverty, famine, anger, unending opinions, hate, and the desire for power and wealth seem to increase continually. I'm sure I have left out many other conditions that you can add, like stress, anxiety, worry, and fear. And then there is the pandemic. It is easy for our conversation to quickly go to comments and opinions about our state governments and what does or does not go on in Washington. But I'm not going to go there this morning. I don't think we have to, do we? As Christians, we must be careful in our everyday conversations, and I am really talking to myself, and not let our emotions and opinions affect our witness. Regardless of what is going on and how out of control things seem to be, each of us has little control over what is happening in the world. The same might be said about our own microcosmic world that we live in, wherever you are. What do we do with all these thoughts and emotions? They can leave us with a whole host of feelings, some which I've just repeated, anger and fear, confusion, worse, apathy, and complacency. Wow. What do we do with all these emotions? I would like to pose another question to you. Should we be surprised by what is going on today? Who's in control of this world? Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is Paul addressing the church at Ephesus, talking about unity of the church, and specifically between the Jews and the Gentiles. 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And Matthew 4:8 says, and again, this is Jesus being tempted 40 days. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And of course, then it goes on to say that Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So we see by these set of verses that Satan is in control of this world. And what is Satan doing every moment of every day? 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. And you're going to hear that word mind several times this morning. So keep your ears tuned to when you hear that word mind. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So I ask the question again. Should we be surprised with what is going on in the world today, having read these verses and knowing who's in control of this world for now? Why does everything seem to be so chaotic? We could think of many possible answers to this question. First of all, the culture has shifted dramatically. And I have a note here that I was going to prepare a list, which I didn't, because each of you has your own list of all the craziness that's going on in the world. I could just sit here and, again, I would ruin my witness, which is why I said that earlier. And out in the workforce, I get into lots of conversations besides business. And a lot of it is about, because of the mask, because of COVID, because of pandemic, all the cultural shift. Pastor mentioned, I think, in last week's sermon about cancel culture. And you don't even hear the word politically correct anymore, do you? It's gone, as far as I can tell. It's been replaced by cancel culture. And it'll be replaced by something else. If you listen, and I've had a lot of people, and this is a common comment to me, several times during any given week, people tell me that I've stopped listening to the news. Show of hands. How many people have said that, have done that, right? Okay. Now, clearly that's the same thing. We're fed up. We are so tired. You listen to the media. You have no idea what the truth is. But here's why you have to tune in at least a little bit. Because if you don't tune in a little bit, you have no idea what's going on in the world around us. None. And I'm telling you, the culture is shifting seismically. You know, not just a little bit. There's not a little tiny earth tremor. This is an earthquake kind of culture shift that we're going through now. And nobody can tell you what the answers are and how far this culture is going to shift. But I can tell you that every one of us here that have children and grandchildren are really concerned, are you not, about the world that they're coming into? In our country and others, man tries to solve the problems around us and on his own, leaving God out of the picture. Basically, an unsaved world has no hope, for their hope is in themselves. Man created the problems to begin with and has no answers, though he thinks he does. Who has the answers to dealing with some of the problems today? Well, we as Christians do. We have the answers, but because it's so easy to get caught up in the world, we may not always be ready to speak up. Worse yet, we may not be willing, let alone ready to give them the answers. Back to our topic today, what is top of mind for you and for me? Is it what is going on in the world around us, or is it our relationship with our Heavenly Father? If our mind is where it should be, we will not only have the answers, but be ready to give the answers. You see a picture of Corrie ten Boom. And I want you to listen to these quotes from her. They're both worth memorizing, but one in particular. Corrie ten Boom, if you don't know who she was a Dutch watchmaker, and with her family, saved many Jews from the Nazi Holocaust by hiding them in their own home. She herself was caught up in all of that. And she has written several books and has many, many quotes. Two I'd like to share with you this morning. I'm going to repeat this one twice because it's worth repeating. Think about what we've said so far. Think about the emotions. Think about the chaos. Think about where your mind is at any given time. Here's her quote. There is no panic in heaven. God has no problems, only plans. Let me read that again. There is no panic in heaven. We're panicked. You may even have a panic attack. But God has no problems, only plans. That is so reassuring, is it not? I just, it just resonates in my head. Another quote she has is this: if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest. Two reminders to contemplate before we give answers to anyone we speak to who is searching for answers in this troubled world. And the answer does not need and should not be complex. Right? You've heard me say this many times. The older I get, the more I love simplicity. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said this: the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done, that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath already been of old time which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. There is nothing new under the sun. Now we might say, wait a minute, Solomon didn't face the things that we're going through here today. Well, that may be true in specifics, but here's the thing. The depravity of man changes not. The doctrine of total depravity asserts that people are, as a result of the fall, Adam and Eve, not inclined or even able to love God wholly with heart, mind, and strength, but rather are inclined by nature to serve their own will and desires and reject his rule. The depravity of man never changes. All the things in our world change, the culture, but all the issues created by man, they don't change. How we respond to them, how we react to it, doesn't change. Solomon was the wisest man, gift given by God to him, that ever lived. Right? What else did he say? All is vanity, right? So what is our role today? What should our role be today? The same as it always has been since Jesus gave us his command, the Great Commission. Matthew 28 says, and Jesus, this is on the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll tell you what, if you haven't visited in Scripture anytime for a while, go to the Sermon on the Mount and read Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and get refreshed, because there's a lot in those verses. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Was he talking to pastors, the disciples only there? You know the answer, right? Even though we may not like it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We are. The Great Commission is given to us, to the world. And again, you've heard many, many sermons on this, many, many times. Our comment is always, our comment many times will be, I'm not equipped to do this. Chris, did you feel equipped to do any street preaching?
No, I was scared of
that. There you go. There you go. But he let the Holy Spirit give him guidance and use his spiritual gifts to reach out to an unsaved world. John Stott. You may have heard his name before. He was an English Anglican presbyter and theologian and leader of the worldwide evangelical movement, according to Wikipedia. In 2005, Time magazine ranked him among the 100 most influential people in the world. Time magazine. Here are a few of the quotes I want to share with you from John Stott. Listen up. We should not ask, quote, we should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask what has happened to salt and light. Got an idea where he's going with this? Here's another quote from him. God intends us to penetrate the world. Christian salt has no business to remain snugly in elegant little ecclesiastical salt cellars. Our place is to be rubbed into the secular community as salt is rubbed into meat to stop it going bad. And when society does go bad, we Christians tend to throw up our hands in pious horror and reproach the non-Christian world. And reproach means to address someone in such a way as to express disapproval or disappointment. So let me go back and read that again with that definition. And when society does go bad, we Christians tend to throw up our hands in pious horror and reproach the non-Christian world. But we should not rather should we not rather reproach ourselves? One can hardly blame unsalted meat for going bad. It cannot do anything else. The real question is to ask, where is the salt? We are to be salt. The Sermon on the Mount talks about Christian influence. Here we go again, back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Christ says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. And verse Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and peace with one another. So salt is two things. It's a preservative. Pastor's Italian. I am sure that he likes certain types of salt cured meat, like, yeah, or prosciutto. Yeah, absolutely. So there are, I can tell you a story about this sometime, but not enough time this morning, about salt cured meat in a little town in Pennsylvania. It's an interesting story. I'll tell you sometime. But I'm going to tell you, they love salt cured meat. They call them soupies, which is like, I think, short for supersada. I think it's more of an American version. But anyway, so salt is good for seasoning and for as a preservative. So if we are to be salt, we are to be encouraging other people, right? We're to be influencing them. That's what salt is to do. So we are to be salt. We also are to be light. Matthew 5:14-16 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So here is our checklist, so to speak, keeping in mind our theme, top of mind. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, number one should be, it's certainly there. Doesn't have to be necessarily in this order. Keep God top of mind. Be salt and light. Be ready to share his message of salvation and comfort. Keep Christ's message simple and keep your answers short. When we have our minds on Jesus, we should want to have him on our mind all of the time. And when he is on our mind all the time, because we love him, we should want to let others know about him. That leaves little room to let all the things of this world and the cares of this world affect us. And that's an interesting word, cares. There are only three verses in the Bible that talk about the cares of this world. Mark 4:19 says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Luke 8:14, and that which fell among thorns, and they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. And of course, the parable of the sower. And Luke 21:34, and take heed to yourselves lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, which means an excessive amount of something, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so the day come upon you unawares. So you hear the word on fruitfulness, right? Are we being, fair question to ask ourselves, are we being fruitful as Christians? Are we being fruitful? So what does God's word tell us to do? 1 John 2:15. So listen to these verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And you know all these verses. You've heard them before over and over again. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and that is, of course, the desire, and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember I said about the word mind? Be ye transformed. What's transformed? Well, the word is metamorphosis. You know metamorphosis if you know that the caterpillar, right, spins a cocoon and comes out as this beautiful butterfly. Great analogy. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there you have it. And I heard this from one of the radio ministries, and I wish I could give credit to who said this. I can't remember who it was, but it was interesting that happened this week. It all starts in the mind, in our mind. It starts in our mind, our thoughts on these issues, and God will change our heart. We have to change the mind, right? Renewing the mind, spiritual renewing the mind, God will change our heart. Matthew 24, 34, 40 says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Thank you, everybody, and have a great week for all those that are on the phone.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.